You're listening to Pastor Stephen G. Lightfoot's podcast, Sermons and Homilies by the Reverend Stephen G. Lightfoot. Pastor Stephen is an ordained elder in the Global Methodist Church and serves as senior pastor to First Methodist Church Splendora and Shepherd Methodist Church in Southeast Texas. Here is today's episode. Please be seated. So this is, in fact, the third Sunday in Lent. We are almost halfway through the Lenten season and our journey with Christ to the cross. And it's interesting that the epistle for this Sunday talks about the cross from two perspectives. One, the perspective of the church, and the other, the perspective of the world. So I'm reading from the epistle this morning. You can find a version of it in the bulletin insert. It's 1 Corinthians 1, 18 through 25. I'm actually going to carry it through to the end, verse 31. Hear now what Paul writes to the church in Corinth. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the understanding of those who have understanding I will confound. Where is the wise person? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has God not made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For indeed, Jews ask for signs and Greeks search for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to Jews a stumbling block, and to Gentiles foolishness. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than mankind, and the weakness of God is stronger than mankind. For consider your calling, brothers and sisters, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong, and the insignificant things of the world and the despised God has chosen. The things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are. So that no human may boast before God, but it is due to him that you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, so that, just as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. It's an appropriate message as we do some soul searching this Lenten season. What does the cross mean to me? The message that points to Jesus Christ on the cross seems like sheer silliness to those who are hell-bent on destruction. Those that prefer the ways of the world to the ways of the Word. But for those of us that are on the way to salvation, the message of the cross makes perfect sense to us. This is the way God works. And it works most powerfully. It turns conventional wisdom upside down. It exposes the so-called experts of the world as crackpots. Paul asked the question, where can you find someone who is truly wise, truly educated, truly intelligent in this day and age? If Paul was asking it in his day, all the more we need to be asking it in our day. Paul says, hasn't God exposed all of it in the world as pretentious nonsense? Since the world in all its fancy wisdom never had a clue when it came to knowing God, God in his wisdom took delight in using what the world considered dumb, preaching of all things, to bring those who trust him into the way of salvation. And so while some people clamor for a miraculous demonstration and some go in for philosophical wisdom, the wisdom of the world, we, the church, go right on proclaiming Christ, the crucified. Our brothers and sisters, the Jews, look at Christ and the cross as the anti-miracle, the miracle that didn't happen. And those who are not Jewish and not Christian, they call them the Greeks in Paul's day. They pass off the message of the cross as being nothing more than absurd liturgy of a novel, a fantasy. But Paul reminds us, to those who are personally called by God himself, anybody feel called? If you're sitting here on Sunday morning, I've got news for you. You are called. Those that are called by God himself, whether you started as a Jew or as a Gentile, Christ is God's ultimate miracle and wisdom all wrapped up in one. Paul reminds us that human wisdom is tiny. Human strength is impotent next to the seemingly, from the world's view, absurdity of God. Human strength can't begin to compete with God's weakness. Paul says, take a good look at who you were before you knew Jesus. Take a good look at who you were when you got called into this life of holiness. Now, Paul, talking to the church in Corinth, he didn't pull any punches. And as he was looking out over the congregation he was preaching to in this day, he says, I don't see many of the brightest and best among you. Well, thanks a lot, Paul. But what he meant by that was, not many of you in this congregation are what the world calls influential. Not many of you in this congregation, Paul said, are from high society families. Most of you had to work for everything you've got. And so Paul says, isn't it obvious that God deliberately chose men and women that the culture, the world, often overlooks, often exploits, often abuses, that God chose the so-called nobodies to expose the hollow pretensions of the somebodies? That's an interesting thought. We were talking in Bible study how the kingdom of God doesn't have the same economy as the kingdom of the world. It operates on two different economies. One is supply and demand, the world, and the other is sowing and reaping, the kingdom. Everything that we have, right thinking, right living, a clean slate before God, a fresh start, all of that comes from God through Jesus Christ. And that's why Paul reminds us, if you're going to boast, if you're going to blow a horn, the message says, then blow a trumpet for God. In other words, acknowledge that everything that you have comes from the Lord. Matter of fact, let's acknowledge that right now. Everything I have comes from God. Amen. See, Paul tells us, and I believe him, that plain preaching of a crucified Jesus is more powerful than all the fancy oratory and philosophy of the secular, some might even say heathen, I would never say that, world. And there are different effects of this plain biblical preaching on people that hear it. To those who perish, the unsaved, those who don't belong to Christ, biblical preaching is foolishness. And because it's foolishness, you won't find those people reading Scripture. You won't find them at Bible study. You certainly won't find them here on Sunday morning. To the Jews, Paul reminds us, preaching Christ crucified was a stumbling block because they refused to accept Jesus as Messiah. They can't get over the fact that Messiah Jesus was not the earthly king that they hoped he would be. And here, 2,000 plus years later, they're still hung up on it. To the Gentiles, preaching Christ crucified was foolishness because the story of a crucified Savior doesn't fit the world's narrative. First of all, from an academic standpoint, they don't like the source of the message. It wasn't some professor in an ivory tower, well published with a lot of initials after their name. It wasn't someone that they viewed as intellectually qualified that brought the message of the gospel. It didn't suit their desire to have their ears tickled, their vanity humored. And so they scorned and mocked those who preached it, saying, "What hope can we have in one who couldn't even save himself?" What a short-sighted view for a so-called intellectual person. But to those who are called and sanctified, those who are the church, headed by Jesus Christ, our Savior, the gospel is the enlightening of the Holy Spirit upon the individual Christian. The preaching of Christ crucified is the power and the wisdom of God. We have the triumph of the cross over the so-called wisdom of humankind. All the learned wisdom of the world, the human knowledge that's so valued by secular society and academia is confounded, baffled. They don't understand it, and it's eclipsed by the Christian revelation of the glorious triumph of the cross of Christ. One of the things I often turn to as I'm preparing a message for Sunday morning is a whole slew of Bible commentaries. Godly men have written down their interpretations of Scripture over hundreds of years, and the collection of Bible commentaries is interesting and revealing. And I always test it by calling on the Holy Spirit for guidance. Matthew Henry wrote a Bible commentary some years ago. It's his commentary on the whole Bible, complete and unabridged. And the thing he says is that The thing preached, the gospel, was foolishness in the eyes of the worldly wise, because Christians chose to live through one who died. Our being blessed by one who was made a curse. Our being justified by one who was himself condemned and was folly and inconsistency to men who were blinded with their own self-conceit and wedded to their own prejudices and boasted discoveries of their reason and philosophy. In short, Matthew Henry was saying that to those who called themselves learned in the world, the message of the gospel was foolishness. And only those who weren't educated would succumb to the influence of something so mundane as preaching. It's an interesting thought. I can tell you that whether you like the message or not, whether you hear it or listen to it here in person or on one of our online resources, I find the message of the gospel and the work the Holy Spirit does as I prepare to share it with you in my life to be one of the most exciting things I have the privilege of being able to do. It's not about me. I'm just a vessel. And if I'm a vessel, I'm a cracked pot. And through the cracks in this vessel, from years of living a life in the world and of the world, the Holy Spirit that dwells in me by the power of Jesus Christ shines through each and every crack and chip. It's not me, it's Christ in me. It's not you, it's Christ in you. If that doesn't touch your soul somewhere within that body of yours that the Holy Spirit has set up temple within you as a believer in Jesus Christ, and it doesn't matter where you come from, it doesn't matter if you too are a cracked pot, the light of Christ seeps out through every crack and chip, shining into the dark world, and people look at you and they say, I don't know what you've got. I don't know where you got it. But I want some of that. I want that light to shine from me instead of all this darkness that seems to pour out of my soul. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Your living your life in Christ is a beacon, a lighthouse to those people. You are the safety of the shore for them. Don't be afraid to shine. Can you imagine if the lighthouse keeper took the day of the storm off and left all the ships floundering in the darkness, wondering where the rocks were? Don't be that lighthouse keeper. Shine your light into the world so people have safe haven from the storms of life. What does this all mean to us, Pastor, this cross of Jesus? When we assemble in this holy space for worship, when we sing a powerful hymn whose words move you to the core. Gene. The power of the hymn moves you to the core. When the preacher's sermon seems to be directed straight to you personally. Does that happen? I think it does. It's not because I know something. It's because the Holy Spirit that lives in you knows something. When you read a verse of Scripture and a light comes on in your head and suddenly the meaning is unlocked for you, and you know in your heart that that verse was placed there just for you and your circumstances to meet you where you are. That river of grace flowing from the throne room of God, and you went at that particular moment and dipped your cup in the river of grace and came out with something that was meant just for you. Do you see the miracle in that? Because the river of grace is constantly flowing, and when you dipped your cup in at that God-appointed moment and got that God-appointed grace that was meant just for you in that particular moment, grace upon grace. When we meet around the Bible study table, and the Bible is revealed to you as we discuss its practical value to your life. When you open up on what God has done in your life over the past 7 days at our class meetings, and you share the wonderful works that God is doing in your life, the way Jesus is walking through whatever struggle you're going through with you, that's not foolishness to you. That's the power and wisdom of God at work in your life. The power of wisdom of God pouring out on you, building you up, lifting you up out of your circumstances, moving you forward into the hope and the future that His Word promises is there for you. So while some may mock and find the gospel foolish, as Paul reminds us, you, the called through Christ, have been blessed to see through clear eyes that the power and the wisdom of God is found in His Word, placed there for His glory and for your highest good, for just such a time as this. Turn to your neighbor and say, this is God's time. God's timing is always perfect. Always perfect. And so if this is God's time, God has it there for you. Dip your cup into the river of grace and pull out what God has for you. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Come back again next week for a new message. And until then, may God bless you and keep you.